And we will move on to the fifth case of this morning, which is United States against Garrett. Ms. Blasis.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, counsel, may it please the court. The issue in this case is the search of Mr. Garrett's vehicle and whether it violated the Fourth Amendment. And Mr. Garrett's position is that it did violate the Fourth Amendment, primarily because the officers unreasonably extended the duration of the stop. Initially, there was a reasonable traffic stop, and it became unreasonable because of the length of time that the defendant was detained.
Maybe you could address, we were going to ask this anyway, even before the government filed its supplemental authority notice, how you think our recent decision in Carpenter affects your argument.
I did not receive the supplemental notice. However, I have read Carpenter.
That's all it says. It says look at Carpenter. So if you've looked at it, that's fine.
Well, in Carpenter, first of all, Seventh Circuit has not overruled Childs too. So, but in Carpenter, the duration of the stop was 5 minutes. In Jeffrey Garrett's case, it was 20 minutes. So that's a significant difference here. And I think it does not affect the argument that that I've made regarding Knowles versus Iowa, because it actually acknowledges that the full search of the vehicle's occupants and, in addition, the vehicle cannot be searched unless there is a focused total arrest. I mean, that was something that was held by Knowles versus Iowa, and I don't believe that that issue is addressed in the government's brief. Carpenter does not change that. Now, as far as what governs the actual traffic stop, I mean, in this case, there was no question that there was probable cause to stop the car. However, the duration of the stop, because the justification for the traffic stop was
a traffic violation,
then the duration of the stop should only be long enough for the ticket to be written.
But why does this traffic stop business really matter, given the fact that the government had basically already put together its case against Mr. Garrett? And, you know, if he'd been walking through a shopping mall, if they had probable cause to arrest him, they could have arrested him. As it happens, they stopped him for a traffic violation. Why do we need to focus so much on this?
Because they didn't arrest him.
Well, eventually they did, right?
Eventually they did, but they did not they didn't arrest him first and then search the car.
But why are his rights better because they happened to get to him because they stopped him for a traffic violation than if he had been walking through a shopping mall and they had stopped him and had a 20-minute conversation with him and then arrested him based on the probable cause they'd already developed?
Well, but they could have arrested him based on the probable cause that they had already developed. That doesn't change, but they chose not to do so. They did not arrest him based on the probable cause, based on the prior four purchases.
Right, but my point is, I mean, you seem to think that because they didn't arrest him right away, the only choice they had was, you know, either to release him or at a minimum not use any of this evidence that was developed as a result of the way they happened to go about it. But you seem to agree that if they had arrested him under circumstances that didn't have anything to do with a traffic stop, everything would come in.
Well, that's where Knowles versus Iowa comes in. It's not what the officers could have done, but what they did that matters.
But they did also have probable cause. I mean, they were, look, I mean, this we're sort of in this because of Wren, right? You know, the officers can stop people for traffic stops, even though subjectively they also have
That's correct.
Other motives
That's correct.
For making the stop. But they certainly, had they said, oh, you know, the dog isn't going to be here for a while, let's just arrest him, they could have done that.
That's correct. They could have. But
and you concede that they had probable cause based on the controlled buys.
Based on the controlled buys, they did have probable cause to arrest him. However, they did not do so.
Okay.
They did not have probable cause to believe that there were any narcotics in the car at that time. There were some factors, but it is Mr. Garrett's contention that that did not rise to reasonable suspicion. Criminal history and the fact that he has sold narcotics in the past does not give reasonable suspicion that there are narcotics in this particular car that he's driving now 2 months after the fact. The fact that he's nervous and fidgety, most people are nervous and fidgety when the police stop them. The fact that he gave consent and then upon being asked a second time, are you sure that you're giving us consent? He withdrew consent. That's every citizen's right to withdraw consent. And these things do not rise to the level of reasonable suspicion. In addition, the stop at Hardee's, where a white male walks up to the car, leans into the car for 2 seconds, and then walks away. That man is stopped by the police prior to Mr. Garrett being stopped, and they've determined that there was no drug transaction at Hardee's. The confidential informant, we only have on the record that he or she told the officers that there was a chance that Mr. Garrett might have narcotics and a firearm in the car, and the car might have a hidden compartment. But we have no indication, first of all, of the reliability of the informant, if this is in fact the same informant who made the buys, that there was any kind of corroboration during the course of those prior buys, that this is the same car that several of those prior purchases took place. So there's just no indication here, or these facts do not rise to a reasonable suspicion that would justify extending the duration of the traffic stop.
How comfortable are you with the actual timeline that we have here? We know there's a stop. We're told that it's about 20 minutes from start to finish. But do we know exactly when in that 20-minute time period the dog showed up or how long it took the dog to sniff around the car?
The dog shows up after, I'm not sure where in terms of the time.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I just wondered if you knew of a place in the record where we could say, well, at minute 12, the dog shows up and then takes the dog 4 minutes to sniff around. I mean, we don't have that kind of information.
We don't have that information. What we do have is information that in the record that the dog showed up 2 minutes after Mr. Garrett withdrew his consent.
Okay, so once they decided to call for the dog, it didn't take long for the dog to
show up.
That's correct. But we don't know at what point
it
was decided to call.
However, what we also have here is the fact that it took Sergeant McDonald 20 minutes to write a warning ticket.
But that's from the start. The dog is in between. The dog is somewhere in that 20-minute period, right? Or does the arrest happen after the... At the end of the 20 minutes, we're finished, right?
At the end of the 20 minutes, the citation has been written. It's not clear that the dog...
And then is he kept longer than that?
For the search of the car, you can't do a search of the car the way that this search is described in a matter of 5 minutes.
I'm just trying to figure out, are we talking about a 20-minute stop by which time they know that the dog has alerted to the wheel and all the rest of it and they search the car? Are we talking about an hour or
what? We're talking about 20 minutes during which time, at the end of those 20 minutes, the dog hits on the car. We're not talking about the entire search. We're not talking about 20 minutes to the arrest. We're talking 20 minutes to the hit on the car.
Okay.
So the actual traffic stop is 20 minutes.
And then once the dog alerts, you're sort of saying phase two begins or whatever.
That's
phase
correct.
Something or other begins.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that's the end of the traffic stop.
Okay.
I will save the rest of my argument for
that's
rebuttal.
Fine.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Glickman?
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm here this morning asking this court to uphold Judge Barker's decision that the stop and the search of Mr. Garrett's vehicle was lawful and reasonable. I think the operative facts, which the court has touched on in counsel's prior argument was is important. This is not an ordinary traffic stop. What went on here is that prior to the traffic stop in March of 2003, law enforcement made four controlled buys of crack cocaine from Mr. Garrett. And there was an ongoing drug trafficking investigation involving Mr. Garrett at this time. They, during this time, Detective Jones, who was the lead detective in this case, researched Mr. Garrett's criminal history, found out that he had prior convictions for robbery, dealing in cocaine, and resisting law enforcement. In addition, while this investigation was going on, the police got information from a confidential informant, the confidential informant that they were using to make the controlled buys in this case, that Mr. Garrett was oftentimes armed, and that in a green Mercury Cougar, which was the car that he was stopped in, that had a hidden compartment, and he often carried a gun and drugs in that car.
And, of course, there was plenty probable cause to arrest him based on his prior behavior with the informant, but there was no arrest warrant that was issued. We wouldn't be here if we had had an arrest warrant, would we? Is there anything in the record to indicate why one wasn't?
Yes, Your Honor. Detective Jones testified that it was his decision to outright arrest Mr. Garrett in a public place once the investigation was going
right,
on.
Right, but I mean he could have had an arrest warrant in hand and arrested him in the public place. That wouldn't have interfered with the timing or the place of where he wanted to arrest him, would it?
He certainly could have, Your Honor, but I don't think it really makes a difference in this case. I think the police conduct in this case was lawful, and it was based on the probable cause that they developed, both to stop Mr. Garrett and arrest Mr. Garrett.
Well, they invited all sorts of troubles on themselves, though, by doing all this way. Traffic stop business, because there are rules about the duration of traffic stops, and I find this record murky at best in terms of exactly what's going on, what is it really that lasts for 20 minutes, when do they call the dog. You know, this either fits Carpenter, it doesn't fit Carpenter, it fits Childs, or it doesn't fit Childs, depending on facts that we don't have in front of us.
I believe this is a stronger case than Carpenter, Your Honor. After this was a fluent situation as the stop was going on. What was happening was there was a dialogue with Mr. Garrett. Mr. Garrett was asked to get out of the car, as was his passenger. Mr. Garrett initially gave consent to Sergeant McDonald to search the car.
And I understand the facts, but we don't have any. You can't shed any more light on the timing than your opponent. Is that right? Other than it's 20 minutes.
The stop in toto was 20 minutes, and
what if the dog came at minute 18 and it's a fast dog? He zips around the car and lies down by the wheel. It could be a much longer one than Carpenter.
But I think the record is clear, Your Honor, that the dog did come.
I know. I know the dog was
most,
there by the time 20 minutes has elapsed.
And within 2 minutes
really
of the refusal. The
yes,
dog
Your Honor.
Came, but it's like, where in the 20 minutes did the dog come, time-wise?
I concede that the record is not clear on
See,
that
that's
point.
The problem with applying these earlier cases, and if the officer had just taken the precaution of getting the arrest warrant, he still could have done it. I understand the law enforcement reasons for wanting to do it in a low-key way, making it look like he's just pulled a car over, the neighbors won't all panic, you know, all kinds of things like that certainly are within their discretion, but they fall into this other line of cases when they start trying to do it solely on that basis.
I agree with the court in that respect, Your Honor. The police could have gotten an arrest warrant. They didn't, but I don't think that the fact that they did not get an arrest warrant makes their conduct in this case unreasonable.
It certainly doesn't diminish the probable cause. I mean, that I agree with. I mean, whether they went before a magistrate or not, as I said, I think if he'd been walking through a shopping mall, if they had this much probable cause, they could have arrested him. There he is, you know, and then gone up and said, you're the guy we've been looking for.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But I don't think that the conduct that the police engaged in this case was unreasonable. And I believe that
But is that because of the timing or because of the pre-existing probable cause?
Under the totality of the circumstances, Your Honor, everything that they did in this case.
So it's got to be the pre-existing probable cause. I mean, that's what it boils down to, because you can't answer the question in terms of timing, and you have a problem with some of these cases like the Cox case and other cases, because we're only talking about stopping to write a ticket up. And there was no, you know, going into the computer to check his criminal record, because they knew about the criminal record. So those are things that usually add time and help legitimize what might be considered an unconstitutional stop, you know, because you have to check the records and that kind of thing. But here they just had to write up the ticket.
Absolutely, Your Honor, and that leads me to my fallback argument, which was the police had probable cause to arrest Mr. Garrett. So the fact that he stopped in a public place, it doesn't really matter, I would concede, how long it took for the dog to come, because he was not free to leave, and the police indicated, and it's clear from the record, that Mr. Garrett was going to be arrested on that day. I believe that it was inevitable, based on that this evidence would have been discovered in the hidden compartment in the vehicle, and that because he was going to be arrested, once the dog came and once the dog positively alerted to the fact that there was an odor of narcotics coming from Mr. Garrett's vehicle, at that point they had probable cause to search it, and certainly had probable cause to conduct a search incident to his arrest.
Even without regard to your backup argument, is a 20-minute traffic stop presumptively unreasonable?
I don't think that this court, Your Honor, or any court that I'm aware of has fashioned a bright-line rule that a traffic stop of X number of minutes is unreasonable. I think it's viewed on a case-by-case basis. And I think that because of what was going on in this case, this isn't a typical traffic stop case. Not that there's anything not that any traffic stop is typical, but this isn't a situation like in Carpenter where a car ran a red light and a dog was brought to a scene. There was a lot more going on in this case, and I believe because of the lot more, the background that was going on in this case, that the conduct of the police was reasonable, and that Judge Barker's conclusion that the search was reasonable and it is a well-reasoned, well-thought-out conclusion that I would respectfully suggest that this court uphold Judge Barker in this case. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. How much time? A minute.
Your Honor, I would just like to comment that in this case, the officer started writing this ticket, a one-page ticket, within minutes after he stopped Mr. Garrett, and he finished writing it 20 minutes later. That was the testimony. His instructions were to follow the car, wait for a traffic infraction, stop it, and then to develop probable cause to search the car. Also, regarding the inevitability of discovery, it doesn't matter what they could have done, what the police could have done. What matters is what, in fact, they did do. And I also just want to point out that in Cox, I believe, the stop that was found to be too long was 15 minutes. The seizure of the narcotics and the gun should have been suppressed because the search violated the Fourth Amendment, and Mr. Garrett asks this court to reverse the district court's denial of his motion to suppress. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. We will take the case under advisement.